You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 68.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Hello and welcome to V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Transform and Roll Out Johnson, and this week's spoiler-filled review will cover The Exterminator's Insurgency by Simon Oliver and Tony Moore. And how's everybody doing on this hot, sweaty 4th of July? And are you doing alright? I'm doing okay. And I, before we get started, I wanted to talk about quite possibly the greatest game ever that I picked up a fortnight ago, something like that. I got Transformers War for Cybertron, and it is awesome. Now, if you're not a Transformers fan, it's probably going to be an okay game or a good game. If you are, it's fucking awesome. And the reason for this is, say, if you want to call it a Halo clone, a Gears clone, a Call of Duty clone, whatever. I mean, it is. Well, it uses the Unreal Engine anyway. But there's no fun. There's, like, all those games, you can't fucking transform and change into a vehicle. Which is awesome, by the way. It's so cool, especially to fly. Oh, man, that is some fun, serious fun shit. And I love it. And if you have a 360 or a PS3, you should get it too. I don't know how the Wii Cybertron Adventures one is. It's probably shit though. But I love it. It's about a 10-hour game. It has Peter Cullen. It has good dialogue. It did a good story, good animation, all that. It's good stuff. And then since I just beat the game, I'm starting to play more multiplayer, especially since this weekend is double XP. I think I'm finally getting the hang for it after dying horribly playing online. But no, I get it, and I'm leveling my guys up and getting abilities, and it's cool. And despite what people say on the forums, there's no clear-cut guy. I personally don't think. They each have their strengths and abilities. Like, my favorite one is the Scout, because he could cloak, but straight up combat, he's kind of weak, so you gotta be a sneaky ass bastard. But to be honest, why I like him is I like the driving and flying in Transformers more, so when I'm Bumblebee, I'm like, let's burn rubber. And then I just zoom off. And then the next one is the Scientist. And while you can fly, and for some reason Shockwave turns into not a big-ass space gun, but a plane. That was lame. I'm surprised they didn't go for the cartoon and have the triangular jets. That would have been awesome. But the plane, you have the least amount of health, but you have a sentry gun. So it's kind of like there's two of you. And you start with decent weapons, but you could fly. Yeah, but you got no health. But then you got a tricky thing where you pretend you're on the other team. And that's pretty cool and annoying at the same time. And then the next one is the Leader, which I thought would be weakest because he's all around. But they have some kick-ass abilities and they're pretty strong. They're in between a Soldier and a Scout. And I'll get to a Soldier in a second. But man, I swear, the other day, I went on a fucking tear with Optimus Prime. I did my war cries like, rawr! And then I was surrounded by Decepticons. I killed one, killed two. I killed like seven of them, and then I died. And I was like, yeah, bitch, I had the touch. I was fucking shit up. And it was awesome. And then the last one's a Soldier. It was the slowest, but damn, they're fucking powerful, and they have the melee. Melee's king in this game, by the way, and I still haven't quite gotten it down. And scout, man, so weak. But yeah, the soldier's also the slowest, but they're powerful and they're tank. They have the most energon bars, so well, it's a great game, especially if you're a fan, you gotta get the game, because I mean, you get and then you just roll out. It just has so much fun. The trickiest thing is you do run out of ammo easily, even in the campaign and the non-one. And you can only carry two weapons at a time, or three if you count your vehicle mode. But, man, you got to learn to look around more. And it's really good. I was surprised at how much fun I had. And it was the first $60 game I bought. Despite how annoying GameStop is. No, I don't want to order all these games. No, leave me alone. Yeah, I know about this and that. The third. But Transformers War for Cybertron is awesome. Anyone wants to play me online, just let me know. And I hope that High Moon Studios, I believe, that they do a sequel. Because that'd be hella fun. I don't know, where would you do it? On Earth, maybe? See, the problem is the environments are all kind of metallic. They're pretty boring, but like, how would you do it on Earth? You do it in space? In between? I don't know, but it's cool. Go pick up that game, people. It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, that's all I want to talk about my Transformer love for right now. Although I did have a good time killing your boy Eddie. I was like, oh, sorry, dude. We were on opposite teams. And I ninja'd him a couple of times. It takes like three of those fucking Decepticons to take me down. Because I was just a speedy little sneaky fuck. I was like, gotta get out of here. Oh, shit. And then I died when there were like three of them. And they zeroed into my position. I was like, cloak. But, no, it was cool. Love it. Yeah, that's it for Transformers, baby. It is for now. All are one.
And now it's time for the rundown.
So there's no news this week. And in lieu of the news, I want to talk about another comic book. A comic book I got sent. And I would like to thank the people that sent me. I'm not entirely sure. I think it was Anthony. But it might have been Connor. Yeah, well, thank you for sending me this comic. But I got sent I Kill Shakespeare, written by Connor McCreary and Anthony Del Cole, with art by Andy Belager. Belager? Belager. Man, so easy to butcher names for me. And the reason they sent it, or one of them sent it, was because I guess you're listening to my podcast. Good luck with that. I personally can't stand the sound of my own voice. Which means editing's no fun. Oh, speaking of which, sorry about last week's episode. Skype kind of shipoopied on me. But they said that I might like it because I Kill Shakespeare is like a Vertigo comic. Although it was written by IDW. Or it's published by IDW. Which completely took me, had me head scratching. Because when I think IDW, I don't think non-licensed properties. Although Shakespeare might kind of be a licensed property. It depends on how you look at it. And it's really weird. Which reminds me, I got to pick up the Transformers trade from IDW. Now, I don't know if this is a new direction for IDW, but I kind of like it. Them not doing just licensed stuff. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was, as much as I like free shit, I was hesitant to read it because this is a Vertigo show. And more accurately, I hate Shakespeare. But the title, I Kill Shakespeare, I was like, ooh, someone's going to kill that limey bastard? I was like, man, because I can't stand his stories, to be perfectly honest. So I got it. If someone offers you to send a word of advice, someone offers you, they send you a hard copy of the issues or the PDF, always take the copy. I mean, unless there's no other choice. This was my first PDF comic, and it was kind of hard to get a feel for the comic book. Now, just because I see what parts of a page at a time, and then I gotta scroll down. Now, I've downloaded comics before, and I forget the file they're in. I know they're like a zip file or CPR file or some shit. But their comics are like in the Windows picture viewer. And yeah, you can see the whole pages. And that is really good. So, PDF files, oh, horrible. Now, as for the comic itself, I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. I did want to read it because sometimes I admit I do get tired of reading Vertigo. I can't wait to order some more comic books and read some non-Vertigo stuff. But I really don't like Shakespeare. But, you know, the title got me. I was like, okay, someone kills him, that'd be cool. And just from the title alone, I expected a story where some dude time travels and tries to kill Shakespeare, but then ends up causing the stories or something like that. I think that would be a temporal causality loop. I don't know. There's like 4 or 5 theories of time travel. See First Contact if you don't know what I mean. To be honest, I think I thought that because I was reading the Terminator omnibus I borrowed from my friends, which are all right, by the way, if you're a fan. Really, a slight side note: Terminator stories better in the future. Kind of redundant when they keep going in the past. Now, anyways, the major problem I have with I Kill Shakespeare, and I think the thing it has going for against it, is that I personally haven't read Shakespeare since high school. My memory shot. And the only Shakespeare I truly remember, despite how much I hate the story, is Romeo and Juliet. And that's more because I've seen plays and movies and the old school movie, which was awesome. Now, I believe I've watched Hamlet, but and I might have been in the play too. But I don't remember it. And the story has to do with Hamlet, who gets picked up by another king and he's hired to kill Shakespeare. Where in turn, the king will, at least the first two issues I read, the king will resurrect his father. Now, since I don't like Shakespeare, I'm not interested in learning about Shakespeare. Although I don't mind watching plays. But then I like plays. But reading Shakespeare is a bit shit. Now, a few people out there, you might not be like me, and you may actually enjoy Shakespeare or whatever century writing there is back then. And if you do, you will enjoy the book far more than I did. Because you will get more out of it. You'll get all these levels of, I think I did remember those witches, those three witches. I want to say the charmed ones, but they're not it because they're ugly. Like, I kind of got things. But if you enjoy Shakespeare, you'll really get and understand things more. And if you really, really enjoy it, you'll go and do some research on various characters in here. Now, that's not to say I didn't enjoy reading I Kill Shakespeare. Despite my love of Shakespeare, who coincidentally isn't in the first two issues. It's hard for me to review this because I normally review things in trade, and I have a feeling, could be wrong, at the end of 5 or 6 issues, Shakespeare will make an appearance. Although, conversely, the guys could have Shakespeare make an appearance at the end of the book and have it entirely be about Hamlet trying to kill Shakespeare. But I think it'll meet at the end. Kind of like Amelia Earhart at the end of first volume of Air. So, but I Kill Shakespeare could have been a Vertigo book. I'm kind of wondering why they didn't. And if they just got rejected. I don't know how submitting comics work. I mean, being an artist is a lot easier because here's my page. You like it? But submitting a story and all that, it's a bit trickier. They might have said no. Vertigo might have said no. Wouldn't surprise me if they did, though. I don't know. However, there were some questions that I Kill Shakespeare did bring up in my mind. It made me wonder. I'm seriously not doing any research into anything, learning about Shakespeare and his works. I don't like him. Were Shakespeare's characters real? I believe the Henry V was, maybe? Like, how much truth is based in I Kill Shakespeare? Were the characters real? Like, was there... Was there a character name, a person named Hamlet? Kind of like Robin Hood, but not that shitty Russell Crowe movie. But you know how they kind of try to... He was real, but he wasn't like... The things you know about him now, like that, I was kind of curious, not curious enough to want to do it, but I do was curious about that. Now the art is good, still hard to get a feel for it reading a third or half of a page at a time. And the art actually reminded me of Lucifer, not Peter Gross, but. Might have been when Dean Ormston filled in or some of the others. Like, it looked familiar. It was good art. I mean, it was detailed. It was graphic. It wasn't too realistic or too cartoony. And I'm not an artist, so I will never describe the art as, you know, a proper way. It wasn't as good as the art in today's review, The Exterminators. But, I mean, well, it is. Toni Moore is good. But it was still good. It was still good. I liked it. Now, I liked the first two issues I read of I Kill Shakespeare. Will I continue reading it? I don't know. If I see it in trade, I'll probably pick it up. I'm curious to see where it goes. I do want to know if there's like an ending. God knows I hate titles that never end and drag out. I think there would be an ending or X amount of issues planned in mind. I really have no idea if the guys or the IDW, like how their thing works. I have no idea. I might get them on the interview to ask them. But yeah, I like it. Like if you might guys right there might want to pick it up. Just give it a shot. An issue in previews. Yeah, or your local comic shop. It's good. It's probably not what you expect. It wasn't what I expected, despite the title, and it's kind of straightforward, but it's good. I Kill Shakespeare is like Fables meets 100 Bullets. I say that because of the whole Fable angle, how you know, they're real, and in here, all the Shakespeare characters are real, I guess. And 100 Bullets because there is a conspiracy with the king. When he does want to kill Shakespeare. He wants to rule. And he's just using Hamlet. And then there's even a little subplot with Othello? I don't know. So yeah, go give it a whirl, people. Give it a whirl. Now enough of that non-Vertigo stuff. I'm going to talk about Vertigo. So I don't know if this review might be shorter. It's half. I'm gonna go eat. I gotta cook. Takes a while. Alright. Now, The Exterminators. It's Surgency by Simon Oliver and Toni Moore. They might or may not be British. Again, too lazy to research. Now, this book is about... what is it about? The bug that got away. Are roaches beetles? I think roaches are beetles, but I'm not entirely sure. It controls the cockroaches, persuades maybe, I don't know, the underground or all the cockroaches in LA, and then he basically sends them out to fuck with the power, and then he wants to fuck with the sewer system and just fuck with humanity. Now AJ's been resurrected and he's not himself. He's actually an old pharaoh who was really into beetles, but the beetles now don't believe who he is, so he's gonna try to kill the exterminators, because I guess the exterminators are the only ones that catch him. And Henry breaks up with his hot girlfriend, and gets with another hot girlfriend, who's weird. Who is a literary hooker? I have not heard of that. I wonder if there is. That'd be interesting. That's pretty much the summary. I mean, they stopped the bugs for now. At least stop them getting into the sewer system. Now, my neck. The Exterminators, this might be the most timely comic I've read. It's summer, and all these little shit-ass critters are running around my apartment. And I'm not entirely sure what bugs I see crawling in my bathroom. In those little holes. And I'm not in the mood to kill bugs. Well, I haven't been, but I am kind of now. It's just starting to annoy me and not listen to my warnings. Yeah, I like letting spiders live. However, when their webs suck. And lately, I've seen random spiders just come down like Spider-Man from my ceiling. And there's like this big-ass one just right near me. I might just start killing them. I'm not in a nice mood, and the heat's making me delirious. Now, The Exterminators is a weird, but fun and rather enjoyable book. Sad to see that it didn't get a longer run. It only got, I believe, 4 or 5 trades. Now, I know the book's about a bunch of bugs, specifically cockroaches, fighting against Bugbegone. But there's some other... There's some stranger shit than that in the book. I mean, one of the exterminators likes to get bitten and fight half naked against rats. And then there's Paige, who's a literary hooker where people have crazy ass book type fantasies. I didn't see that coming. And if I ever interview Simon Oliver, I'm going to be like, what the hell is that? Now, the Exterminators is basically you're following with through the eyes of Henry, the character who doesn't know much. Coincidentally, one of the problems with episode 1, and 2, and 3. You need a character who doesn't know much and to explain things. Otherwise, you'll just have... Because everyone... If you don't have it, everyone knows... knows stuff, and there's no need to talk about it. Now, I like and hate Henry. He's a likable guy, but he's a very good-looking guy. Well, everyone in this book is good-looking, except for, like, the old lady. But he has a choice of 2 hot chicks and a fun and exciting job, as opposed to me, a boring and monotonous job. But if anyone from work is listening, I love my job. No. Okay, I'm kind of jealous, and I wish I led his life. I mean, 2 hot chicks. I know he's a former felon. He's an exterminator, yet, I mean, man. It's like, dude, here I am alone, on a holiday. Which is fine, actually. I don't mind. I can't be bothered. But my favorite issue of the book, and I believe it's the 4th or 5th issue, is the interlude one. Where it has nothing to do with Henry. Not that I hate Henry. He's not York from Y. It's just that issue is the most grounded, and it deals with Laura and Paige. It gives those hotties a spotlight. Yet it shows their past and future, possibly future, with Henry. And up until that issue, I didn't really like Laura. I mean, she's hot, but was she a lesbian? Was she bisexual, or was she just sleeping with people to climb up the corporate ladder? Would that bother me? Would that bother you? You have this hot girlfriend, and you, I guess, assume great sex, and then she's cheating on him, which I'm against, but she's cheating on him with other hot women. And then I go, would you, because like, guys, we'd get mad if it was with another dude. But it's like, you're not gay, right? Because you're sleeping with me still. You seem to enjoy it. But these hot chicks, and you're like, oh, can... Like, your first thought is, can I get in for a 3-way? But, see, I don't know if she's... If Laura's just sleeping with those people just to climb the corporate ladder. It knows. Yeah, it's confusing. But in that issue, it shows how much she cares and misses Henry, even though he knows it. He knows it's over, but more or less because she's choosing her job over him. Been there. Nah, haven't been there. Been there in my mind. Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. I hope it develops that much more in the rest of the trades. Because up until that point, I was actually rooting for Paige. I have a thing for women wearing glasses. Maybe it's my thing. You know, that whole librarian thing. So, and she likes books. But the other chick, Laura's alright. And then Paige is cool. Oh, side note. Guys with those type of glasses, the plasticky looking ones, don't particularly like. All of them I've met. Yeah, all of them that I've met, they're douchebags. They all have that same attitude and demeanor. You guys know what I'm talking about. And if you're one of them, sorry, dude. Nah, not really. You're a bit of a douche. Alright, I spoke about the art a little bit earlier, but man, it's still fucking brilliant. It's let me look through it real quick. It's just so detailed and so colorful. It looks cool. The only quote unquote downside is that everyone's attractive. Except for like AJ, who was supposed to not be attractive, and the old lady. But that's fine. That's fine. Although there's this weird, there's a couple of other artists. Let me see. Andy Parks and Chris Samney, who like fill in for Tony Moore on this one issue. And it's weird. Like Tony Moore will do pages 1 through 6 and then 8 through 10. And then the other guys will do a couple of the other pages. And you're just like, huh? Huh? But it's still good. Like those guys are still on their game. So I've never seen that before. That specific list. You figure those guys would have done an issue or two or half an issue, but Tony Moore does a couple of these pages and then these guys do the other pages. It baffled me for a second. Now, why I enjoy the book, I'm not sure how much I like the Egyptology that's underlining it. Because at times, it feels like the book's trying to go in two directions. It's trying to go with the science, like... Oh, I think it was last issue where the bugs that are smart were because of that chemical, right? That's, you know, that's your science, right? But now it's going with the magic, with the resurrection of some Egyptian dude, and then that the old lady is trying to figure out that box that was found. I feel it would have been stronger if it went in either direction. I think I know why it went in two directions. Because reading the Exterminators, it's like reading the Ghostbusters in comic form. It is. Even the scene in the sewer reminded me of the scene from the end of the second movie, where they're in the train tunnel. But it's a lot grosser because it's shit as opposed to a river of slime. But I really enjoy the Exterminators. I don't know how good the Ghostbusters comics now, but if you like Ghostbusters, fucking read the Exterminators. It really is like it. Except there's no fourth guy. Yeah, and and AJ kind of gets possessed like that guy. Yeah, Janos is a Vigo. Huh? Like, but he's not really a Ghostbuster. Yeah, so maybe... Well, okay, anyways. So, I'm gonna give this volume of the Exterminators... I'll give it a 4. It's solid. Solid. Mainly because of that interlude issue. But I have a feeling that the next trade will be better. Probably finish it out. It's only 5 trades. Alright. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had a happy 4th of July. As always, appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. Next week's pick will be Transmetropolitan, Back on the Street. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or go to the now up and running, new and improved, faster, shinier, and very, very blue, thecomicforums.com. To see what's coming up, visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can win much either.
And like that,